Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Well, today, this weekend, our doors have opened for the first time. I think the question behind everyone's lips has been, what's behind the doors? People have been driving past for the last 2 years, and people are thinking, what's going on? You know, you're getting your hair done, or in the grocery store, and people say, do you know what's happening on the hot seats? I've overheard those conversations. And that's the message of our title this weekend, what's behind the doors? What actually happens in this place? So I want us to journey together to discover some of the meaning behind some of the spaces in this place. But before we go through the doors, these aren't just any doors. These are doors that represent something extraordinary. These are the doors of hope. As the doors of our new church building open, I believe that we are opening doors of hope for our community and our city. Chantal and I, we have made a commitment 10 years ago that we would speak hope from this platform. We would speak good news. Who knows, there's enough bad news out there without him coming to church and getting some more. You ever watched the news recently? They say 90% of the content of the news now is negative. So we wanted to reverse that a little bit. So when you come through those doors of Soul Church, we're going to broadcast good news. Jesus said it like this in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Anointed for what? To bring good news. Good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives and to the prisoners. This might seem a great structure as a building, but this isn't just a structure. This is a sanctuary. This is a safe space. I believe this is a place that you can dream what could become of your life. And this is a gateway of hope for the whosoever in this county. This is a place of good news. So is anyone ready for some good news today? Yes. Anyone tired of fake news? Yes. Bad news? Get ready for some good news. I love good news. The prophet Isaiah said this. He said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace and good tidings. I pray that the message that you'll discover on the other side of those doors is a message that is full of hope. 19 years ago, I was a youth pastor in the Heartsees community. The church that was on this site, Pastor Trevor was the pastor. I was the youth pastor, as you saw me on that video. A little bit younger back then. I was the youth pastor, and we tried everything to help the young people in this community. It was a tough area. And there was a young man who arrived on the first night of our youth club. We called our youth club Wildlife, and it was wild. It was wild, trust me. And so Lee came, he was 13, 14 years old, and he came on foot and went home in a riot van, a police riot van. I thought it'd be good to just hear some good news and watch his story of what God has done in his life. So one more time, let's just check out the screens. Thank you.
I was not born in a Christian family. I didn't know anything really about church. Didn't know nothing about Jesus. So things were going well, and I was going to school and doing well at school. And then near the end of high school, that's when my behavior started to get worse and my grades started to decline. My parents went to a parents' evening, and my teacher said to them that Lee is going to be a failure. You know, those words, they lived on in my life. And you know, I started, you know, just living out those words, you know, believing that I was a failure, believing that I couldn't do anything. And that's why my behavior started to derail. Stealing motorbikes and smoking drugs and alcohol, and my life was going downhill. And I knew that if something didn't change, that, you know, I could either end up in prison or even worse, you know, 6 foot under. So I came into church when I was 15 years old as part of the wildlife youth ministry that Pastor John launched. So I got a flyer through the door. Me and my friends, we decided to go to the launch night. It was around the corner from my house in Heartsease. But there was just something about it. And we played funny games, had worship. And you know, I just felt in that moment that the presence of God come on my life. From there, I was like, man, I want to know Jesus more. I want to know who he is. The preachers were talking about choices that night and you know how we can make bad choices or good choices. And I wanted to make a good choice that night. And that choice was to give my life to Jesus and follow Jesus. In 2014, I was given the opportunity by Pastor John just to lead the youth ministry, which is now Soul Youth. And it was great to be able to give back to those young people because I knew that youth ministry changes people's lives. In 2015, I went over to Finland with Pastor John as he was preaching in a youth conference. John set us out on a little date, and her name was Naya. It wasn't meant to be a date. He said he was going to meet us for lunch and then didn't turn up and set up as a date. And so, now we're 7 years married and we have a little girl, nearly 2 years old. Then we went over to Hillsong College in 2018. I came back with a level 2 diploma in leadership for someone who was told he was going to be a failure. It was incredible to be able to achieve something. So now I'm involved in Teen Challenge, which is a discipleship rehabilitation centre for men who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. So I'm excited to be going home back to the Heartsease, where people can come in and belong, come in and find hope and find Jesus. My friends, my family, those that I grew up with, are going to come into this church and find that this is home.
Don't you just love good news? Good stories. We're committed to bringing the glorious good news of Jesus into people's lives. I believe when people walk through those doors, they're going to walk into hope. Jesus said, I am the door. When they walk through those doors, they'll experience the hope of Jesus. The first stop is the doors of hope. The second stop on our journey through the building is the street of community. The doors of hope lead to that community. At the very outset of this dream, the Bishop of Baghdad in Iraq, Canon Andrew White, in 2012, he was speaking in a church here, NFLC, and he prophesied that one day a Roman street, as we saw on the video, would be built on the east of this city. Little did he know that that prophecy in 2024 would come true, as we now have a Roman street of 120 meters long. We envisioned a street, both inside and outside, where people from all different walks of life would find community. The greatest epidemic that this nation has ever faced is happening right now, and it's called loneliness. It's estimated that 34% of people in our county are struggling with loneliness. We can read that stat, and we can feel depressed, or we can make a decision that we could do something about it. Mother Teresa, she said, loneliness is the worst form of poverty. We intentionally built that street as a gateway for community. Because on or off that street, you will find our social supermarket, where we help people who are struggling, doing life tough with food. We have our community cafe, where you can drop in for a warm cup of tea. We have our Art Kids indoor play area, and that is free for parents, for single parents. Maybe you just need a respite for 15 minutes, and you can place your child in that safe environment. You can sit down and just pause. That's for you. We have our job clubs and our debt recovery courses that are run off the street. We have our nursery. We have our youth club on a Friday evening. We have our mental health and well-being support groups. We have our provision for the disabled and physical and sensory impaired. We have public workspaces for you to come and drop in. Everything we do in this church, first and foremost, it's about giving people hope. And secondly, it's about people finding community. Maybe we need to reverse our thinking about how community is transformed. Communities, I believe, are changed from the grassroots up, not from the top down. Often we look for politics, politicians, government to change our lives, and sadly that hasn't happened. But maybe life is transformed, like Lee Daniels, by people helping one another to become a better person, believing in individuals. Maybe that's just how community can be transformed from the grassroots up. I believe that community transforms community. If we can help community find community, I believe we can see transformation in community. You know, even Jesus himself, the Bible says he needed community. God's own son needed support. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up in Luke chapter 4, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, to the church, as was his custom. It wasn't just a one-off. He went there because Jesus needed to be around people. Jesus knew the importance of it. Jesus went to church. I've got a guitar string here. I did have guitar lessons and I failed miserably. Can play any guitar players in the house? Not many. Just give us a wave if you can play guitar. All right, give us a wave if you can strum the guitar. That's more like it. Okay, no one's going to admit to being able to play. What's amazing about this guitar string is it is free to do whatever this guitar string wants to do. It could be useful for many things. It could be useful, maybe you could tie up your cat and take it for a walk. I mean, obviously, leave it loosely around its neck. I love cats, don't I, Phil? Maybe you could cut some cheese. Yeah, cheese cutter. Maybe if you've got some gaps in your teeth, you could floss, get right up there. Obviously, depending on how big or small the gaps are, be careful. Maybe you could go to Cromer, catch some crabs. There's lots of things you could do with this guitar string, but who knows that this string is not designed for any of those things. It's not designed for the cat, the cheese, any of those things, the crabs. It's only designed for one purpose. Come on, Vinny, step forward. You see, this guitar string is free to do whatever it wants to do, but it was only designed for one thing. It's to be connected to a purpose which is greater than itself. You'll never see the full potential of a person's life until you're connected to something. We've built the street, we've built this church so individuals will walk in and say, what's my purpose in life? Where do I fit? And first of all, we want to connect people to the head, which is Jesus. Because it's Jesus that brings transformation. But a lot of people think, oh, it's just Jesus and me. I'll just do life. But who knows, if that guitar string is just connected to the head, it's still not really that useful. It's not until you connect the guitar string to the body, the head, which is our intimate relationship with Jesus, and then the body, which is community. Just strum that away, Vinny. Suddenly, the string finds its purpose. And I meet a lot of Christians, it's just Jesus and me. We just do it together. We just do it. I don't need community. We all need community. If Jesus needed community, you and I need community. If we're going to find the reason and the purpose why we're born, we've got to connect ourselves to the head, which is Jesus Christ, and connect ourselves to the body, which is his church. And then our lives start making sense, and then we start finding purpose in him. Thank you. You see, when we're not connected, we're limited. You see, it wasn't until Lee found connection, now he's found his purpose in life, which is to help the amazing organization of Teen Challenge. There's so much this string can do, but it'll never find out until it's connected. I believe this church, I believe this community is going to bring out the purpose in people's lives. People are going to walk in and I'm not sure what my purpose is, but as you begin to connect your life to Jesus and you begin to connect your life to the church, there's going to be gifts that are going to come up. I look around this room. I've seen teenagers, young kids over the last few weeks putting this production and sound and lights together. I'm like, how did you know how to do that? They said, I don't. We're just learning as we go because they're connected to the head. They're connected to the body. And now they're finding purpose and direction for their life. You see, our new church is not so we can just seat more people. It's actually so we can connect more people. It's not about just, oh, we've got so many bums on seats. We want to bring connection and purpose in people's lives. This new building isn't just bricks and mortar. I believe it's the land of the living. People are going to come alive. Life-giving opportunities for people's dreams to come to pass. Opportunities in Jesus' name. The doors of hope. The street of community. And number three is the seats of grace. We go through the doors, we go down the street, and then we end up in these seats. They're quite comfy, especially you happy with the seats? Yeah, don't you be falling asleep. I can still see you up there, especially you right at the top there. I can see you on Instagram. You know, the biggest restraint for people not coming to sit in these seats is this: I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to come to church. I was speaking to someone last week and inviting him to church. He said this, he said, "You don't want me in your church." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I'm not good enough." Now think about it like this. Do you clean up before you have a shower? No, you get in the shower to clean up. People think they have to clean up, get their lives together before they come to church. That's wrong. You come as you are. You bring the poor choices you made, and I'll bring the poor choices I made, because I'm as human as you are. We all make mistakes. We all get it wrong. That's why God's grace is in this place. These seats are God's grace. People say, "I'm not good enough because of my past, my mistakes, my shame." And that's a myth, because the most famous verse in the Bible, in John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." This might not be theologically correct. Some of the scholars over there will correct me later. I think the word "whosoever" is probably the most powerful word in the scriptures. Do you like our Bible wall on the street? If you haven't seen it, check it out. It says the Holy Bible. You might think, why does it just say the Holy Bible on the wall? Walk a little bit closer. And every scripture from the Bible is typed on the wall. Mercy Morstan did a brilliant job putting that together. Would you thank Mercy? What a fantastic, fantastic job. But of the 900,000 words on that wall, I think the word "whosoever" is probably the most important. Because whosoever means you, and it means me. It's everyone. This building was created for the whosoever. Not for people who've got it all together. It's for people like you and I who said, "I messed up this week. I got it wrong. I didn't speak to my wife well. I made a poor choice at work. I lied. I looked at something I shouldn't on the internet. I got it wrong." And God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. I still love you. You're still my child." These are seats of grace. These are not seats of judgment. We're not here to point out your faults, your sins, your mistakes. God's paid for them on the cross. This building is created for the whosoever. That means people of all faiths or none. People of all ages. People of all backgrounds. People of all races and cultures. All disabilities or challenging life experiences. People with a past. I want you to know that you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in these seats. This church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. The doors of hope, the street of community, the seats of grace. And it leads to our final stop, the cross of salvation. 18 years ago, as we saw at the very start of this service, a fire ripped through this site, destroyed the building. But one symbol stood the heat and the fire. It was the cross. And that cross still stands today. As you walked in and looked up, that same cross is there. We didn't paint it. We didn't put a gloss on it. We wanted you to see it, and we wanted the enemy to see it. Because it's a reminder what he meant for evil, God has turned around for his good. He's got to stare at that every day. The cross is a beacon of light in a dark world. And sadly, there are lots of things that divide the Christian community right now. Style, doctrine, politics, worldviews. But there's one thing that unites us, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is the gospel without words. When people see the cross, they see hope. There's something about when you see a cross, it brings peace into your heart. It's a symbol of God's ultimate sacrifice through his son, Jesus. You see, when we find the cross, we actually find the reason for the existence of our lives. The most important day in our life isn't the day we were born, it was the day we discovered why we were born. And I believe that people are going to discover the reason that they were born in this place. Does anybody remember the old VHS days? If you're kind of 30 years old and above, VHS, I don't even know what it stands for, but for all the Gen Zs in the room, a VHS tape was when we wanted to watch something on television on the four channels which we had. Do you remember when Channel 5 came along? It was like, wow, we've got a fifth channel. We've been struggling for 20 years and they've given it. And so the VHS tape, you put in your video recorder. You're like, what's a video recorder? We'll do that in a different message. But basically, you could record something. You'd record Match of the Day. And you'd hope no one recorded over. You ever sat down? You remember the day you'd sit down to watch your favorite movie and someone had taped, you know, David Attenborough over it or something. And it was, oh. But the great thing about the video recorder is you could keep wiping over it. And I think our faith is a little bit like that. Our lives can be a bit like that, like a film, can't it? Ups and downs, hurts, disappointments, highs, lows, mistakes, and regrets. And the great C.S. Lewis said it like this: forgiveness from Jesus Christ is like a tape recording of your life, wiped completely clean. You see, that's what the cross does. It wipes the mistakes, the shame, the guilt, the bad parts of the movie. It wipes it out. It says, I'm going to give you a new beginning. See, this building, we've not just turned a page, we've turned a chapter. This is a new chapter. A new chapter, and that new chapter is going to begin for people when they walk through the doors. They're going to look back on their lives and say, that was a really bad chapter. It really went wrong in my marriage. It really went wrong in my work. It went wrong in my career. And God says, you know what? I recognize that, but guess what? I want to give you a new chapter. I want to wipe the slate clean. I want to give you a brand new start. I want to give you a new identity. I want to remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. Today can be a new day for you. Today, Jesus can wipe our tapes clean. Give us a new beginning. But people say, John, I'm not good enough. And you know what? None of us are. None of us are good enough. That's why the Father sent Jesus to this earth. And he took my sin and he took my shame. You see, salvation is not earned. It's received. And people are going to walk through these doors, walk down that street, sit in those seats, and they're going to be given a choice to come to the cross, to receive the gift of salvation. You can bring your addictions, your imperfections, your failures, and you can leave them at the foot of the cross. This cross equals love. This, our world is desperately looking for hope. Our world is desperately looking for community. Our world is definitely looking for grace. But all those things are found at the foot of the cross. It's a symbol of hope, a symbol of community, a symbol of grace, and the beginning of your journey with Jesus. I'd love everyone just to close their eyes in this closing moment of the service, because I want to give you an opportunity to receive his grace right now. Maybe you're feeling like, I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but we can receive it right now. Jesus can give you a brand new start wherever you're at in life, however bad life is right now. A new chapter can begin tonight in these seats. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. He wants to give you tonight hope. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you strength for tomorrow. But it begins by opening up your heart to him, letting his love come in. He wants to remove your sin, your shame, your past, and give you a brand new start. So I'd love to pray for some people. But before I do, I'd love to know who I'm praying for. If you say today, John, I want to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Some stuff in my life and my past has gone wrong, and tonight I need Jesus just to wipe my tape clean. This is a new chapter. All over this room, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, you say, Pastor John, I want to start this journey with Jesus. Would you just slip up your hand? Just say, John, pray for me. God bless you. 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 Amazing. Can we stand together? We're going to say this prayer together out loud. And even if you didn't lift up your hand, but you really felt Jesus just knocking on the door of your heart, let's say this out loud together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive all my sin and failures. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I can have a brand new start. Please come into my life and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and to live for you. Amen. Come on, let's congratulate everyone who said that prayer. If you lifted up your hand, we've got a gift for you. It's a Bible, and the team will be out in the concourse areas on the street just holding them up. Please take one of these from us. And I'll also give you a couple of next steps you can do. This isn't the end. This is the beginning of a new adventure with Jesus. And I want to say well done for making that decision today. Amen. Should we pray right now for hope for people in our city? Can anyone sense there's just so much hopelessness out there? Just the world is just so mixed up right now, so broken. And I believe that this will be a house of hope for the whosoever. So Father God, would you stretch your hands? Father God, we stretch out our hands to this city. We love Norwich. This is where you've called the majority of people in this room. And yet we see the desperations, and we see the homelessness, we see the hunger, we see the loneliness around us. And Father, I pray that you would help us be the answer. You would help us be peace, Father God. You would help us, Father God, help others along life's road. We pray that they would find the doors of hope, the street of community. Father, they would understand the seats of grace that would lead them to the cross of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.